In a world where COVID-19 has ridden the planet, three dweebs make a podcast about stuff that everyone else has already talked about. Then, in a foreseeable turn of events, one traveler left behind, two marched forward to talk to you guys this week about the differences between homebrew and pre-written campaigns. Nice. Welcome to Traveler's Tips and Tales. I'm Ben.
And I'm Jake.
And today, Traveler Mike could not join us.
Why do you make it sound like he's dead? One traveler left behind, two marched forward? I mean, like...
The show must go on.
Oh, jeez. Did something happen to Mike and I don't know about this?
Welcome to Traveler's Tips and Tales.
Broken record. Oh, goodness. Well.
Welcome. No, for real, though. Welcome. My name is Ben.
And I'm Jake. Yes.
Yes. And today we're talking about homebrew versus pre-written campaigns. The pros, the cons, why you would want to do one or the other.
In case we have any DMs out there that are wondering, you know, they want to start playing D&D, and maybe they're the unfortunate soul that wants to start playing D&D the most, so the rest of the group has deemed them the DM, which definitely happens, I know, a lot. Didn't happen to me, but...
Or sounds like if you're a player with a plethora of DMs to choose from, and you're trying to figure out which game you would be interested in joining. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we have today our DM's outlook, cough, cough, Ben, and we have today our player outlook, which is me. And also, technically, I have not written a pre-written campaign. Oh, dear, no. I have ran, I mean, like, 10, maybe 15 sessions of a pre-written, and Ben has ran, like, over 200, probably. Long sessions of homebrew, so we have a bit of experience. I'd say about equal experience each, probably, you know.
I'm so curious. So I'm gonna do some quick maths.
Okay.
Let's say for the times that we couldn't play, I used to DM like way more than once a week. So I'm gonna say average of once a week, right? And I've been playing since.
Listen,
like...
dude, Cade has been in your world for like over 2 years now.
Yeah, and it's been three and a half years.
Before that, yeah.
So.
It's like 50 games per year.
Yeah. Roughly. 52 games a year times 3.5. Yeah, it's about 182 sessions, if that is correct.
Back. I would say there's probably a couple more. Extra in there because you're also counting like one shots, which you still run in pre-written, or not in pre-written, you still run one shots in homebrew worlds.
Yeah, it's true. I used to run other stuff every day. When I first got out of high school, I used to run literally every single day because we were just like, we have nothing better to do than to play D&D for days.
But that is unfortunately beside the point. Yes, you are very experienced, but we have something to talk about today, which is pre-writtens versus homebrews.
Yeah. And so before we start, where do your loyalties lie, Jake, with DMing versus playing in a game?
Well, I kind of hate to say it, because I did run a pre-written campaign. I didn't enjoy it too much. I think I would enjoy running a homebrew game even less, though. Unfortunately, just because I can't get past the preparation wall that you have to do. For DMing, I think I prefer. For me and how I DM and the way that I do things in my brain, I think I prefer pre-written campaigns. But as a player, I like homebrew more, I think. Well, I don't dislike pre-writtens.
I, as a rule, obviously DMing, I prefer homebrew.
Makes sense.
But this might shock you, actually. But playing in games... I sometimes prefer pre-writtens.
Really?
Because I'm a lore fanatic. And that's in true. Pre-written games, I'm aware of all the lore already, sometimes more than the person running it.
Whereas in homebrew games, I'm constantly asking them about lore, and they have no answers for it most of the time. Like, I'll be like, how does this work? How does this work? How does this work? Where did this come from? What is this? 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 And they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So sometimes I kind of do prefer playing in pre-written games, just because I understand what's going on in the background of the world, so my character can get more in-depth.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a weird side point. Like, that can be overcome through effort.
True. But yeah, so those are our two individual looks at the very start of it, and now we're going to talk about it, hopefully from a less biased standpoint, from this point on, about what we think is the pros and the cons for each.
Yeah.
So which would you like to start on, Benjamin?
I mean, let's just start with pre-written games. There's a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you can pick from so many.
biggest pro on my book here. Way less prep. You don't have to do nearly as much stuff for this.
Yeah.
Homebrew, you have to prep everything before. Like, you have a mountain of prep work to do before your session zero. You know what I mean? Like, there is a lot to do. Well, pre-written, you have to read, like, maybe 10 pages, 15, 20 pages of the basics of the world that you're running in before you can start having session zeros, so you can start talking with your players about what they want to do.
Yeah, it is. There is a lot less prep involved. You kind of just have the pre-writtens all come with like a campaign description too, so you can just say, hey, everybody, here's the campaign description. Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves, make your characters, and we'll start on this day. And that's it. They just show up.
Also, with pre-written side of things, you have a better idea about how long your campaign will last.
Mm-hmm.
So you can give your players like an idea of, like, if you're a group like us where we have a million games that we want to get to, most of ours are homebrew, and that's the problem with the backup is that we have homebrew games and they're taking longer because we just keep playing the game, rather than a pre-written where eventually there will be a point where there's no more stuff prepared. Like, that's, you've played through the book. You know what I mean? Like you're done. Like, there is a more finite end goal.
Yeah, pre-writtens are kind of like Attack on Titan is right now, where it's like, yeah, it's at the end. It's towards the end. We're almost done. And then, like, homebrews like Dragon Ball, where it's like, they made how many?
yeah, exactly.
Or One Piece, where it's just like, he hasn't done what?
They're still going? Like, what has this person not done yet? Well, you know, they haven't killed a lich, per se.
Yeah, like...
they may have stopped someone from becoming a lich, but they never killed an already lich. You know,
so yeah, at this point, they're actually making a lich just so they can go kill the lich.
Yeah,
exactly.
So yeah, pre-writtens, you have a better idea about how long your campaign will last.
Although that's not always true.
I guess.
Some games with certain parties just take longer. That's something you gotta be prepared for. Our buddy of ours was running Storm Kings for like over a year, and we finished it in about a month.
Like, we finished it in like 2 months.
He's been running it for over a year.
Yeah, like pretty much for like, it's funny because me and Ben played in the short game, and neither of us were in the long game. Whereas Mike was in the long game and not in the short game. But yeah. But like me and you, like, we leveled up after like every session. I felt like, and they were just like crawling.
Yeah, they decided to do every side quest, and we were just like main quest.
Side quest. What is that?
Yeah,
guys, we did it.
Yeah, that's another thing you got to keep in mind with pre-writtens. There's certain side quests that are in the game, and sometimes there's not. You know, sometimes the game will just railroad you. Mm-hmm. And it's not because the game hates you, but it's because you can only fit so much inside one book.
Yeah.
That also includes all the NPCs, all the maps, all the lore, everything. So
yeah, there's going to be points in the road where there could be technically a decision, but the book only prepares you for one. And that's just going to happen.
Or like Rise of Tiamat, the book specifically states the party has to fail at certain points over and over and over and over again. Otherwise, the book will never actually complete the story because Tiamat has to rise in the rise of Tiamat for you Tiamat.
In order for you to move on to the next book. You know, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be tough sometimes like that.
Yeah. But if you're okay with a more linear story, book campaigns are great. If you don't mind a little bit of railroading every now and then. I know my players rebel against every instance of railroading, so I could never...
Yeah, every now and then Ben will be like, here's this thing, and we just look him straight in the eyes and we go, no, we're gonna walk along the streets until something finds us. Like some other trouble finds us. Yep. Which is what we've literally done to him before. But as another point on that note, you can break off of, you know, the train tracks every now and then and do a little bit on your own. Like pre-writtens, you don't have to run the book by the book every time. You can always break off and do a little bit of homebrew if you want, if you're comfortable. It's a lot easier to...
Whoa. We can't hybrid. You can't go encouraging people to hybridize the two.
No, because it's real easy because you don't have to... You're still working within the confinedness of the book because you're still working within that world and whatnot. But you can do like a side quest that doesn't exactly... exist, but you can take a character that is already in the book that you've already RP'd and you already know that you didn't have to make on your own, which is something that you would have done for homebrew, and you can say, this is a problem that this person would likely have, and I'm going to make them have this problem and pitch it to the adventurers, and who knows, maybe they'll bite and they'll go on this side quest that I technically homebrewed, and it's another option for them to do, and it's technically less railroading. So you can break off the train tracks, in a sense, a little bit if you'd like, in that kind of sense.
Yeah, there is spaces in pre-writtens for a little bit of homebrew to spice things up. And that's honestly a mark of a good DM, is knowing when to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the opposite end, if you're running a pre-written, your DM is more likely to be probably a little bit less passionate about what's in the book, maybe?
That is true. This is the main problem with happened in my campaign, is that at the beginning of it, it looked cool, and we were all for it. And then as we kept going, I just kind of stopped liking it a little bit by, slowly but surely. You know what I mean? Like, I just slowly got a lot less disinterested within my own game. Which really sucks because all of my characters, all of my players here are really hype about their characters, and I love their characters, and I want to see them more, but I hate the fact that I have to be the one to run it. Which is
to be fair, though, our characters wouldn't be the same if you weren't the DM, man.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, rest in peace, that campaign. I feel like we're never going to play again.
I don't know. I might revive it, but like, I don't know. I might do some like weird time BS.
Something. You could just restart us, man.
We're okay
with that.
We'll just always with that game. We'll never ever get anywhere near to finishing it, but we'll always just play the first five levels, like just over and over. Once we hit the five, once you reach the limit to hit six, we just start over again.
I hope not.
That'd be torture.
I think I'd have to switch characters, man. Not gonna lie.
So the DM can be likely a lot less passionate about the material, whereas that is a lot less likely if the DM is, you know,
writing it,
making it themselves, because they're bound to be passionate about it. And if they're not passionate about it, then they change it. It's just that simple.
Yeah. Another con: more reading. For the players and for the DM, because you have to be able to make a character in this world, and rather than just being like, hey DM, what about this? The DM will just be like, go read it. Like, I don't care. Like, it's already there, just go read the lore, and then they're like,
listen, man, I've read a lot of stuff in the last week. I don't feel like reading three or four more paragraphs for your character. Or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. But then, also, you kind of have to be prepared if you're playing in pre-written to like, yeah, you know the lore, you gotta make a character, it has to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, why are you playing?
Yeah.
You know? Like, you can't go off the wall with homebrew and all this other stuff.
That's another thing, though. Characters are less incorporated into the world as a whole, just from the very beginning, because the setting itself does not accommodate for them. It's just impossible to. It physically can't. The setting is already there, and the characters come afterwards. Whereas with Homebrew, it's Homebrew, and you're the DM, and so you can mold your world after you hear about the characters. Yes, you have the beginning that you started with, especially with a world like yours, Ben, where we've done multiple campaigns in it, right? And we move from one to the next with totally new characters. Yes, there is already finite evidence and finite details that we already know, but there's still stuff that you can shift a little bit. Like Amusil, the city that my character Spade grew up in and was born in, that's like the Amusil that is to the Royal Flush is a totally different Amusil that was to Cade's party, because Cade and them went to Amusil and they experienced Amusil, but it was a very different experience. And you could just write it off as a town in different eyes, right? Because, like, for me, as a player, as both of my characters going into that city, it's a totally different experience, but I'm okay with it because, like, with the finite little changes that you've done to the place, I'm okay with it because it's just stuff that Cade wouldn't have noticed or Spade omits from his memory, right? Because he doesn't think like that. It's his hometown, and so he has, like, that special, like, feeling in his heart where he, like, doesn't want to hate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it kind of works like that better, whereas, you know, you could mold it like clay, whereas with a pre-written campaign, you can't.
There are no vampires in Amusil.
There are no vampires in Amusil. There is no Warren Bossing Say.
But yeah, it can come at a disadvantage at times to have to make a character, and maybe you have to change up or abandon certain things in your backstory to make them fit into this more confined world in order to make them make sense. And
you have to work inside the box, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, you do. But at the same time, everyone else also has to, so it's a more balanced experience.
True.
There's not going to be one guy who's like, I can't be killed by any means whatsoever. And the DM and all
everyone
the players
at the
are
table
screaming.
Just, what?
Yeah. Oh, it's in my backstory. I'm actually cannot die until I complete a quest for my long lost love. Okay, what's the quest? I have to pay her 5 silver pieces. Okay, you gonna do that? No.
No. See, it's weird. Every time I have silver specifically, it has to be silver specifically. I have gold, but I don't have any silver. Every time I see her, I don't have any silver. But anytime I don't see her, oh, there's my silver. I found it.
Yeah.
It was in this pocket of my backpack. Dang.
What do you mean? I just gave you like 50 silver. Oh, I converted it to gold, actually. So, in my inventory. So.
I gave you 55 silver. That was 5 gold and 1 electrum, actually. So.
I know players that do this. But yeah. Also, there's an expectation from the player side that if you're playing in a pre-written game, that the DM is not going to throw weird, wacky rules at you, like homebrew rules. They're probably going to play by the book.
Yeah. And, like for my game specifically, I didn't have this problem because I was playing with you guys who I had already played with, you know, over a year in a homebrew game. So you guys were already accustomed to open to homebrew rules that you gave it to us, where I wanted to try out my crit rules, which I still love, and I still run if I do run anything. Whenever I run one-shots or anything like that, I still run those crit rules. And, I mean, my players know them now. They are more comfortable with my crit rules, and they like them. And, luckily, I had you guys. You guys were open to my crit rules for my pre-written campaign. But if I had a different party, it could have been a lot less likely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially because some rules, like my crit rules, make it easier for the players because they are more likely to crit than the DM is, just because of action economy. They roll more, so they have more chances to crit. Therefore, their crits will be better more often. Whereas, you know, me rolling as the enemies, they crit less often, so because they roll less often. So it kind of isn't the player advantage. But there are also homebrew rules, like I know some rules that you have been. that you run with that are in the DM's advantage, right? Like the DM gets the upper hand in this sense. And players might be a lot less accepting of those kind of rules with a pre-written campaign.
I have a couple rules that go either way, I think.
Yeah.
Depending on how it's used.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of which rule you're thinking of that gives me an advantage.
I'm not going to tell you.
I can't think of it.
I'm not going to tell you.
Well, that's dumb. Because it's obviously a rule that I play by. Just trying to think of what it would be.
I think we have one more big pro and con for each of these.
Yeah, we do. This one is more so a 5e D&D specific problem slash pro. It's a pro and a con. Existence of Adventures League. Adventures League is a great resource for new players or people who don't really have like a group that plays all the time.
An
right?
amazing
I've said this. Yeah, I've said this before. However, some of the people that play Adventures League are not those people. Some of the people that play Adventures League play Adventures League because they care more so about the rules aspect than anything else. And there's a lot more rules in Adventures League.
Remember when I said that people might not accept your homebrew rules? These are the people.
Yeah. So, on one hand, Adventures League, great. Some of those players, when they play in a homebrew game, they're like, yeah, I'm really knowledgeable about the rules, and I'd be happy to tell you about them, if you ask.
Hey,
those
that's me! Great. That's yeah. me! I'm yeah. that guy!
Those people are great. And then there's some people who, when the DM says something, they're like, actually, you're wrong. And it's like, what?
I will like, admit, I have also table. Been that guy.
Yeah.
But, like, to be fair, the entire rest of the table agreed with me.
Yeah, that one was like a...
That one instance where I was just like, straight up, I was like, you're just wrong. Like, please. But anyways.
Yeah.
Continue, sorry.
But yeah, that's exactly the thing. It's like, you have to kind of be prepared for those people. Because when you're playing in a game that's more pre-written, you might have people that, like I said, expect you to play by the rules, that see it more like an RPG, or more like a numbers-based mm-hmm. hack and slash than a role-playing game.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask me, I think you could split up Adventures League into two categories, really. Like, the players in general, right? You have the people who are inexperienced and the people who are experienced. And it's just that simple. The people that are experienced, nothing against them, but they're a lot more likely to be that kind of player, where they're very knowledgeable at the rules, and there's nothing wrong with that. I am a person myself that is very knowledgeable about the rules. I like being knowledgeable about the rules because it is helpful for the table when there are discussions about what is the correct and incorrect say on a rule. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes Ben will look at me and he will just let me be the deciding factor. And whatever I say at that point in time, he knows that I'm not going to say it with a biased opinion of I want our party to be better or whatnot. He knows that I'll just give him the straight up, you know, like, I'm pretty sure this is what the book says. So that way we don't have to waste time opening three different books because we don't remember what book it's from to try and find the one rule. And we're like searching the table of contents to try and figure out which category, which section of the book it might be in, where it says this one like two sentence rule that we're looking for. And he just accepts that and he goes, okay, that's cool. We'll run that like that from now on. Or maybe it's in his favor, so okay, cool, we'll run that from now on. Who cares, right? Like, we're all here to play the game. And that there's nothing wrong with that, with knowing rules for that reason. But there kind of is a problem where, like Ben said, the people that are there just to try and get their two cents in every second that anyone does anything, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a proper way to do it and a non-improper way to do it. Where, you know, you could wait till, like, after they're done with their turn and you say, I think next time, it can slide by this time, but next time, keep in mind this option for your character to do this during your turn, maybe, or something like that. And you can have, like, that discussion one-on-one with a player that messed up a rule or whatever as another player that is a rules lawyer, quote unquote, or, you know, you could be the one that interrupts the table and takes up more time during combat and et cetera, et cetera. Or, you know, even worse, interrupts RP, like in the middle of two characters RPing, you know, like actually that your aura paladin does this instead or whatever. Like, who cares? Yeah. You know what I mean?
I've actually played with people like at Pre-Written Games who are like, all right, I guess we'll pretend to role play. It's like, you can do whatever. I'm going to do me.
Role-playing game, yeah. RPG. Like,
at one point, I was like, I'm running low on arrows, and he was like, you keep track of arrows? I was like, I was like, do you not? How many arrows have you shot this game again? Like, 500? What the?
I mean, I used to keep track of arrows, and then I bought, this was my best, I think my best economic decision in D&D. I actually can't say that because I made a business where I already had the upper hand based on my location. But, My rogue, who used a short bow, I just bought, like, hundreds of arrows that broke instantly once I shot them, and I never had to keep track of my arrows again, because if I shot, I lost an arrow. It was that simple. I never had the idea of, like, did I collect arrows after this fight? I can't remember how many of them would have survived me shooting them, because sometimes, you know, you hit a stone with an arrow, it's more likely to break than if you hit, like, wood or flesh, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like trying to piece together, like, did my arrow break or not? I'm like, guaranteed that arrow is gone. Yeah.
That
There's
same
a bunch
guy,
of
though,
arrowheads on the ground, like, who cares?
That same guy, though, was kind of a nightmare, because he was like, yeah, I don't keep track of spell slots either, and I was like, I had a heart attack on the
like,
spot.
How?
I was like, oh, God.
How? Do you just, like, always cast 5th level spells when you're like a 10th level character? I don't get it.
Yeah. Yep. He's warlocking it.
He's straight up warlocking it, man. He's like, I know I'm a blank, but really I'm a warlock.
Yeah. But yeah, you gotta be prepared for people of both ends of the spectrum.
So like there's two options of Adventures League players, and then there's new players who know nothing about the rules. They're just trying to get into the game. They're trying to enjoy themselves, you know? They're, you know, they don't have a group, so maybe they're just, like, hopping around into different games. They want a character that can hop around into different games and fit into every setting, which is what Adventures League is literally made for, right? Like, that's the whole idea of Adventures League, is that DMs are supposed to run it in this setting, and so that way players can come in and out as they feel like it.
Yeah, and all those extra rules are actually because players can drop in and out of games. Like, you could take a character
exactly
who's level 3, go to a different table that's in the same campaign or whatever, and
with
also
this
has
XP
level 3.
Level, so it's
yeah,
as much to
like,
next one. Yeah.
I want to join this game.
Yeah. And
actually,
that's the whole point of the game of Adventures League, is so that players can come in and out to try and meet new people to maybe have a more consistent game.
Mm-hmm. We went on and on about pre-writtens, man.
We
think we
did
pretty much covered everything in the book.
Has the bush been beaten? Did we beat the bush? We beat it to a pulp?
My pun went unappreciated. That's okay.
I mean, I heard it too, but then I made a joke and we're just vicious out here. We're two comedians not willing to give the other one the upper hand.
Yeah. I guess we'll just have to write our own book of jokes. Homebrew it, if you will.
You really put me on the spot to think of another joke there. Anyways, homebrew. Jake.
Homebrew time.
Traveler Jake, the Segway King.
Yeah. If all of that sounds like the perfect game, like you're okay with everyone showing up and doing their thing and being in all this cool pre-written lore and everyone's on the same page when you show up, that's fantastic. But if you want something more, something a bit more chaotic at times.
I knew you were going to say something more.
A bit more chaotic, I will admit.
Yes, definitely.
But has the potential to be so much more than you could ever imagine. Welcome to the world of homebrew. So, here's the thing about homebrew. Every DM who like takes the time to make their own campaign or their own world is putting a lot of work into it, and that takes a lot of time, generally speaking. Yes. Unless you just improvise everything, in which case I guess you don't have to prep at all.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
But that goes both ways anyway, so.
Yeah.
But it does take a lot of time, and the DM is going to take a lot of time to make this huge, creatively inspired world full of references, full of lore, full of places and people for you to meet. And it also takes a little bit more time on your end, because you have to sit down and talk with the DM. You have to be willing to work with him to build your character up so that you fit into the story he's trying to tell and into the world that he's created.
Yes. But with that quote-unquote con of the more time-consumingness that this campaign is, I think leads with two much bigger pros, in my opinion. Because you're spending all this time building the world and whatnot, and you are doing it, that means that you, the DM, are going to be a lot more passionate about the setting and the quests and campaign overall. And you're going to like it more, right? You're going to enjoy it more. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're getting to see the fruit of all of your hard work there at the table. So you're in a better mood at the table. The players are having more fun. You're, you know, you're reacting to the players, enjoying it, and you're having more fun now, right?
Yeah.
And the campaign is more interesting. There's more stuff to poke at, right? There's more buttons to press that the players have no idea what the button does. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, gems or whatnot encrusted in the walls that could may or may not just pretty much kill most any player, but except for that one, apparently. I don't know what I could possibly be talking about right now. But, you know, there's players and DMs alike are going to be a lot more passionate about the game. And also, there's a whole new world that the players have not even dipped their toes into yet, right? They know nothing about this place. Yeah. And it's fun to be able to interact with that and poke at things as a player standpoint with everything in the entire world. You know, mm-hmm. like whole races can be totally different in a homebrew setting than they normally are. Like the race as a general can have a whole new lore, you know?
Yeah, and also you could have a huge impact on the world that you're playing in.
Yeah, right? Depending on like how early the world is.
Yeah, and if you're lucky enough to have a game go on for long and long and long and long time, I'll just say a very long time. It feels longer when you're a DM, shut up.
That's fair.
Your players can have a huge impact, and like they could have multiple generations of characters that exist in your world. Entire cities, countries could be entirely built around the lore that they developed. You know,
like in Ben's case, you can have a certain player that literally has a family tree of different people in it, where like 5 to 10% of it is player characters, like. And there's, like, actually 5 generations in there. Cough, cough. That is a thing in Ben's world. There is a family tree in Ben's world that is very large. Well,
so he started with a player character, and then married an NPC, which expanded into that NPC's family line, which expanded into a huge other family line, and then which expanded into, like, a thing they don't even know about. Through marriage, and then his other family tree, like, he mapped it out and was like, all of these other characters that he's planning on playing in the future are mm-hmm. all descended from the other side. It's like, yeah, that's
it. Yeah, it's insane. It's insane.
It's great. It's the kind of things you get when you it's have like players cool. that are super it's into super it
cool.
Yeah. And the great thing is your DM can let you do all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Downside, your DM might also not let you do those things.
True.
Your DM might write a campaign and be like, it's this way and it will never be any other way. I've even heard of DMs handing out pre-written character sheets and being like, these are the characters I need filled in this game.
I'd like to say it right now, I am not for that.
Well, you are, because you've asked me to do that before, remember?
Oh, yeah, that is one of my... Okay, but that's for a one shot. That's different.
Yeah.
I've only suggested that as a one shot. I don't think you should just give characters for campaigns. That doesn't that doesn't check out.
But I have heard people doing that.
That's fair. Hey, and if everyone at the table enjoys that, more power to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but, you do that. You go.
You know.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to accept that all the players are not going to agree that your story is the best all the time. Like, they have characters they want to embrace, and they're like,
true. Yeah.
I want to play his character. I don't want to play Gork Schnorp the the Triton sorcerer. No, I don't want
to
play that.
You have to make this character now, Ben. You have Gork to Schnorp. Make Gork Schnorp.
he's not going to be a Triton, though. He's going to be a he's going to be a Kutua. Kotoa.
Kutoa?
Yeah, he's going to be Kutoa. It's going to be Gork Schnorp.
Oh, Kutoa is so funny looking. Anyways, right. but it's so much easier to make Gork Schnorp in a homebrew game than it is for a pre-written, right? Like, Gork Schnorp can be incorporated into the Kuotoan race, and mm-hmm. he can have, especially if you're playing something as exotic as a Kuotoan, you could, you know, Gork Schnorp could be like the prodigy child of the entire race of people, the entire civilization of the main, like, homeland of the Kuotoans, for all I care about, right? Like, how many other characters are going to come from the Kuotoans? Sure, make this guy the prince or something. I don't care. Like, if he wants to do that, let them do that. Like, who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the great thing about homebrew, like, you could just be like, I want to play Gork Schnorp one day, and everyone's like, cool.
All right. you could get more exotic with your creations, and you could do... You have a lot more options to go with your characters. And it's, for the DM standpoint, it's a lot easier to incorporate them into the world, like I talked about before. You can really mold their character in as if it's a lump of clay. You know?
Yeah. And you also have the option of introducing... without necessarily breaking continuity or whatever. Homebrew stuff. Cool stuff.
Yes.
That you find online that people make or that you make yourself.
It's a lot easier to see Quackthulhu break into your world and have a whole new side quest for your Halloween special or something. I don't know. And it's a lot more feasible for a thing like that to happen in a homebrew world than, you know, are pre-written, because there's all these characters that technically have this kind of personality traits and should react to things in this way, and all of a sudden, redacted, there's error 404, there's nothing there to say how Hank the barkeep knows how to react to Quackthulhu busting through his bar. Like, it's just not there. Like,
maybe Hank the barkeep has an old rivalry with Quackthulhu, you don't know.
Maybe, who knows? You do. You're the DM in your homebrew world. You can write that in. Like,
yeah. And you know what? There's also nothing wrong with just being like, I really just want to run a game in this world that already exists and just making it that way. That's mm-hmm. totally cool.
Yeah.
Like, you could do that. I've run a game in Skyrim.
Yeah, you could run a homebrew game in a pre-written world if you would like. That is also cool. That's kind of the best of both worlds, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. On the other hand, one thing that can become a real problem with homebrew is what to do session to session.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a pre-written game, you have it written down, exactly what needs to get done.
You have a timeline.
Yeah. Whereas in the homebrew game, it's like, that can get a little muddled.
Yeah.
Especially the lines are definitely when you're confusing, like our people are.
You trying to say something, Ben?
Nothing.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, Ben. Ben, okay.
Yeah. The timeline's definitely muddled.
The timeline is definitely muddled. We have no idea what's going on in that aspect.
I remember for a while you were trying to be like, but the timeline doesn't allow for that. I was like, the timeline has not mattered for a while.
I'm like, how does this make any sense? How is your character this old in this time? When they meet this other character, and now different amounts of time have happened for each character. What? I don't get this. Dumb. So funny.
Not the point.
Not the point.
Yeah, timelines get a little weird, but not the point.
Well, at the end of the day, the game is more sandboxy in general, right? Like it's more of a pool of water that you get to splash around and play in, rather than the train tracks.
Yeah, you just gotta keep in mind, it's like session to session, you might run out of ideas.
Yes.
You might get hit with writer's block, which is a horrible thing to happen. I'm friends with a lot of writers, and all of them are like, writer's block is the most cursed thing. Mm-hmm. And if I even mention it, they're like, how could you say that? How could you bring that up?
Don't speak its name. Are you, what are you, a fool?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, you've cursed me.
We're doomed, you fool.
And you just kind of have to be prepared, you know, maybe plan a couple side quests or write down like a general idea of what you want to happen. That way you never get too off track. And that's another thing, you can get totally off track. Like,
oh,
you could just run in a game, you could just be like, there's a Titan now.
Big time, there's a Titan now. Whoopsies. Let's figure that out now. Where's it going to take us? The Underdark? I don't know. What the hell?
That was a great arc. I like that.
That was a great arc, but I'm still annoyed that it ever happened. It should never have happened.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Another thing is, sometimes you can have something very simple, or you could have something extremely hard. It doesn't matter. Your players might just cheese it, or might just screw it up entirely. Because in a homebrew setting, there's more than one way to figure things out. It's not just one solution,
sometimes,
necessarily, right?
You know, sometimes you spend a lot of time debating and balancing a lich to have, like, well, should this stat block have this kind of thing? What kind of spells is he prepared for? What kind of stuff is he doing? And then sometimes, you know, you spend hours and hours balancing the HP, AC, and abilities that a certain lich might have. And then sometimes, just sometimes, a crazy doctor might tackle him into a lava pit. And all of that's down the drain. But that's okay, because it creates one hell of a story. You know?
Yeah.
But you just have to grow to accept that slowly but surely if you run a homebrew game. It's a lot more feasible for that kind of stuff to happen, especially if you allow homebrew content in your world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just kind of have to be prepared, because when you're running a pre-written campaign, you didn't necessarily write all that stuff.
Yeah.
In a homebrew, you wrote all that stuff, and when your players just completely bypass it and leave it in the dust and you'll never to be seen again, that can be really heartbreaking.
Yeah, sometimes you were just trying to have it easy by doing a pre-written in the middle of a homebrew game, and then all of a sudden someone teleports Strahd's spellbook off of the map, and he doesn't have that anymore, and he has to deal with that.
Yeah, I thought that was great, actually.
That's
I'm not
pretty
even
good
mad
move.
About that. But...
I'm just thinking of times that we've, like, cheesed things. Like.
Well, here's the thing.
That fight would have been so much harder with that spellbook. Oh, boy.
You guys have cheesed a lot of stuff.
We have cheesed a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A whole background thing that one of my characters was doing was just building up the ability to cheese the biggest of fights. Like,
that's true.
I was just like in the back burner, like looking for certain items. I was like, if I could get all of the stones, I can Thanos snap this mofo.
Who told you about the stones? No, that's... But yeah, it's... The beautiful thing about homebrew is it can be anything you want. You can build it up to be anything. Your players help create the story as much as you help create the story.
Yes.
If you're willing to put in that extra work, it could be very, very rewarding.
More rewarding, yeah.
But at the same
experience.
Time... Prerequisite, you kind of have to have a consistent group to really do that.
True.
If you don't have that, I'm sorry.
Like, it's a lot harder for you to come back from a big gap of playing at a homebrew game than it is for a pre-written game, because then, you know, a lot of people are all of a sudden unused to playing their characters. They don't remember exactly how they, you know, exist RP-wise, maybe. Or, you know, maybe they don't have, like, their voice down anymore if they do a character voice. And it's a lot harder to remember, like, what the hell were we even doing? Like, what are we, like, trying to do right now? And it's a lot harder to remember that in a pre-written game, or in a homebrew game, whereas in a pre-written game, you could just, like, read the past, like, three pages, and you're like, oh, this is what you guys were doing. You could just, like, skim them as the DM, and you're like, oh, you just took out this dungeon, and you were talking to this guy, and then this happened. And then everyone goes, oh, okay, cool, yeah. I remember that now.
Yeah, it's important to take notes regardless, but, you know.
Yeah.
With the pre-written, the notes are already there. You know, the DM doesn't have to really do much unless you kill an important NPC or something, and they're like, ooh.
Yee. Yakers.
Oh, man. But yeah, there's a lot of pros and cons to either. I think most notably, I've experienced both when the party decided we're going to go kill Strahd right in the middle of a stupid game that I was running, that I'm still running. And I was like, thanks.
You were setting up for a cool thing to happen, and then, boom, one of our characters was stuck in Curse of Strahd.
Yeah.
And then we did that for, like, literally the next 3 months.
Yeah.
And we have, and now it just doesn't make sense for the same things that we were to be able to do back then to be able to do now. So literally all of that into the garbage, because time passes on in D&D. I still feel so bad for that, but it wasn't at all my fault, but I still feel so bad for that. It was just
the two people involved are not here today.
Why did you banish him? Why did you banish him? Of all spells that you could have cast,
for context, we had a character that was from Barovia.
We've talked about this on the podcast already.
But maybe this is their first episode. I don't know.
That's true.
Or they need a reminder. He's from Barovia, and our cleric banished him back to Barovia. I mean, you're in Barovia. He banished
him
leave.
And concentrated him on it for a full minute, and it was during like a party, so it's not feasible for him to like have anything to have broken his concentration.
Well, even if he didn't concentrate on it for a full minute, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, because it's Barovia in general, and Strahd would be like, leave. Oh, the one that escaped, finally you're back? Sounds like you're never leaving.
Exactly.
I let you slip one time, you're not getting out again. Yeah.
So, literally, in the middle of a homebrew game, like, with all this homebrew stuff, and all these homebrew, like, characters or the homebrew class even being thrown in there,
and Ben is literally setting us up for a cool new side quest that we're about to do. We're like at a party where we're talking, like, our party is finally like big news, we're big news in town, you know, people know us and people want to hire us for certain quests, and then we're gone for weeks.
And then literally right in the middle with all this homebrew stuff, they went and decided they were going to go kill Strahd. They didn't.
We didn't
save their party member.
We didn't decide it.
You could have just left him for dead.
One person, we could have left him for dead, but that's like kind of messed up for like the one player that gets left for dead.
Yeah.
You know, that blows.
It's happened before. Yeah, so it was very interesting because I got to see what happens when you take all these characters that are used to homebrew and throw them into a pre-written game. And of course, I had to read Strahd in like a week, so that was cool.
I still remember that session. It was only like a 2-hour session because it happened early-ish in the session. And then it happened, and you were just like, not going to lie, guys. I think they have to call it for that. I think that's the end, because now I gotta read Strahd. And we were like, sounds good, man. You do that.
Yeah. I was like, ooh.
Yakers. Oh, boy.
And to be honest, it was a really good fight with Strahd.
It was a really good fight.
They just came in, and they were like, we have all this cool homebrew stuff. And everyone in Valagi was just like, what are you doing here? Like, who are you, and why are you so happy to be here? And everyone's like, we're just feeling good. And they're like, what's wrong with you? We're supposed to be a happy town, and you're weird. Oh, it was great. But my point being, pre-written and homebrew don't have to be mutually exclusive, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a homebrew world that now has the entire map of Barovia planted in a desert.
Right smack dab in the center of it or whatever.
Yep.
Wherever it is.
That's just a place now that exists.
That we still go back to.
All the time. And also, when you're running a game like Curse of Strahd or Birth of the Apocalypse or any of those pre-written games, sprinkle in some homebrew, man. Make it just a little bit spicy.
True. You could always go on a side quest.
Yeah, just Salt Bay some homebrew.
It doesn't
have to
be much. Like, it doesn't, like, if you really think about it, you can make it, you could keep it very close to the book, and you don't have to think about too much if you're really scared about, like, your creative control over the game, or like, your creative capabilities as a DM, you know, maybe you're self-conscious about that or something, I don't know, but, you know, it doesn't have to be too much. You could always just, like, write in a little thing that they could do, or they could not, and who cares? Congratulations, you get a little taste of what it's like to be a homebrew DM, because they ignored your side quest.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So that's our Traveler's official Traveler Jake and Traveler Ben stamp of approval on pros and cons for homebrew and pre-written campaigns. Yeah. Anything else to say on that matter?
Honestly, if you have a group and you guys are having fun, it doesn't matter what you guys are playing.
True.
As long as you and your friends are having fun.
That is the important thing. Never forget that.
Oh, yeah. And if one guy is making it not fun, it might be that guy that's just not fun.
Maybe. It happens. It sucks to see it, but it happens.
Yeah.
People play the game differently.
Yeah. It's like a general rule of D&D. If one person doesn't fit in, then maybe that person should find a group they fit more
yeah,
in.
Yeah, and that's
doesn't
not,
mean you're not
like,
friends. It just means maybe you don't play D&D together.
It's not a bad thing to be that person. Like, that just means that you play differently than other people, and you just need to find another group. That's all. That's all it is.
Yep.
But yeah. So, if you guys didn't know, you can find us on a lot of different platforms. I'm going to try and go through this as quickly as possible, just because I feel like a mouthful sometimes. But we upload all of our episodes onto YouTube every week, just at the same time as they go up on other places like Spotify and whatnot. You can find us on YouTube at Travelers Tips and Tales. You can find us on Instagram. Sometimes we post memes, sometimes we don't, at Travelers Tips and Tales. We have a Facebook page that's Travelers Tips and Tales. We have a Twitter, which is at Tips Tales. We have a Tumblr, which is at Travelers Tips and Tales. Patreon, which is at Travelers Tips and Tales. You can find a whole bunch of homebrew stuff that Ben here works hard on sometimes. Sometimes he does it. It doesn't matter. He does a lot for us, so we don't really pressure him that much. But you can go to Patreon. You get early episodes and other things too at Travelers Tips and Tales. You can email us any questions you have about us or D&D in general. I'm a rules lawyer. I'd love to answer them. You can email us at travelerstipsandtales@gmail.com. We also have a website if you want a little taste of what our Patreon might be like before you sign up for it. That's totally cool. We understand that. That's at travelerstipsandtales.com. Also, shout out to Dalton and Ben's mom for being our patrons, our top tier patrons, enough to really get shouted out. We appreciate them and what they do for our podcast. And yeah. And also, if you guys didn't know, you guys should all go out and check out your local game stores. There's a lot of different game stores near you, most likely. I'm just assuming this. I don't know where you live. I'm sorry if I'm wrong. But I bet they're there because they're all over the place. The four in particular that I would like to shout out today are Forgotten Path Games in Vacaville. That is where Ben, Michael, and I all met for the first time when we played Adventures League, technically. There's Mad Alpaca Games in Fairfield, Davis Cards and Games in Davis, and Hobby Badger Games in West Sacramento. Me and Michael and I think Ben have been to most of these places, and we have tested them out, and we give our Traveler's stamp of approval. They got cool board games and D&D stuff and Warhammer stuff, and they got minis, and they got paints, and they got all sorts of stuff. You guys should check them out. They're really cool. And they're also cool people to talk to. And it's also nice to support them. But yeah, a lot of cool places. And, you know, if you're not in the greater Sacramento area, you can check out other places near you. I bet they're there. I promise you. They're most likely around. You just need to look around and dig a little to find it. But yeah.
Yeah, that pretty much covers everything. I don't know. I have anything else to add to that.
That was some word vomit. I just plowed through that. Sorry if any of that was ineligible and you couldn't understand what the hell I was saying. But on the bright side, I think it was maybe one of our fastest intros yet.
Yeah. Intros?
Or outros. Adventure awaits! Stop this.